Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It's been long awaited. Finally, the second episode of Hawk Center. It is Friday, October 16th, 2020. My name is Zachary Aguave, and I'm here with...
Gabe Cairns.
All right, today we're going to be talking about Future Hawks, brought to you by Next Gen Stats. The latest, or like the next UFC 254 card should be really exciting. The NFL Week 6, and then college football games, you know, so... And we're going to be touching on the card tomorrow night, so, yeah, stay tuned.
Yes, exciting stuff is coming. Our last episode was March of 2019. Kind of crazy it's been that long, but we're back, and that's all that matters. We've got a lot of content coming your way, and we're excited to be back. We're going to get right into it. Next Level Hawks, not Future Hawks. Our segment is called Next Level Hawks. We're going to start right away with Nick Marshall, who just recently committed to Loyola, Maryland. Had a ton of offers, including some Ivy League schools, which shows you the type of student he is. He averaged 17.2 points per game last year and 2.5 steals per game last year for Riverhill as a junior, despite battling a knee injury. Zach, what are your thoughts on Nick Marshall?
You know, like you said, Ivy League guy, great, really great in the classroom. I sat next to him in English, I believe, 2 years ago. Always got his work done, always... Hey, teacher, if you had any questions, you got him asked. He's really about his business when it comes to school. But a lot of people don't know about him. Obviously, great student. But people don't know. He was an LKRBA. What was he, the MVP?
Jason or Nick on another.
Co-MVP of the league. I mean, he played basically everything. He could get rebounds. He could pass. He was playing from phenomenal defense. Had potentially the block of the year. I mean, this kid has been doing it for a long time. He knows how to handle his business. So I'm really excited to see what his future holds.
For those of you who don't know what the LKRBA is, it is the middle school basketball league we had back at Limekiln. Nick Marshall played shooting guard this past season for Riverhill. Do you think he fits more of a point guard type mold at the next level at Loyola?
I mean, he's obviously got the height to be versatile. I think his defense, I feel like he can guard 1 through 3. You know what I mean? He has definitely gotten a lot stronger, so I feel like he can definitely bang down low if need be. But offensively, I mean, he has great vision. He can pass. He can shoot. So I feel like he's incredibly versatile. I feel like he, especially in a positionless NBA, basketball, you know, I feel like he should lend himself to one position. I feel like he'd go out there, keep working, and just hoop, and then let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, I agree. You mentioned his offense, and then, of course, defensively, the 2.5 steals per game I mentioned, that's among the leaders in the state, so shows you that he's quite the defender. Moving on, we also had a recent commitment in lacrosse. Aaron Devine committed to Rutgers to play Big Ten lacrosse. What are your thoughts on Aaron?
Obviously, from day one, she came to the school. She was a varsity, I'm not sure if she was a starter, but she made varsity as a freshman in basketball, lacrosse, and soccer. I mean, that's... That's basically unheard of to even make the varsity sports in high school. Lola is a freshman. She has great energy. She's just a natural athlete, and I think she's going to do great things.
Yes, I agree. Good to see Rutgers getting some Riverhill players. Moving on, staying in the Big Ten, though, but moving to soccer. Justin Harris, one of the greatest Riverhill soccer players of all time, actually started 8 games as a freshman at the University of Maryland last year. Great to see him getting a lot of playing time early. Hopefully just even better things to come in the future. Zach, I won't make you talk about that. I know you're not a soccer guy. Moving to the NFL, though, Kevin Johnson's finally healthy after he suffered a lacerated liver. I believe I said that right. It's lacerated, right?
I have no clue.
You're the doctor guy, but so he's finally healthy. He had 6 tackles last week against the Colts, playing for the 4-1 Cleveland Browns after a brief stint in Buffalo. The former first-round pick and former Riverhill star teamed up with Michael Campanera to probably bring Howard County its greatest team of all time. Campanera retired, I believe, last year or 2 years ago, but it's good to see Kevin Johnson back healthy and getting a lot of playing time in Cleveland. He's not going to talk about it, but Zach is also getting some recruiting love as well. We won't go into that, though. You know, he likes to keep his recruiting life a little private. But yes, that concludes this episode of Next Level Hawks. We will go a lot more into Next Level Hawks next episode, hopefully. So we're going to move on to college football. We have a big game tomorrow. I'm not sure when this podcast will be out. It'll probably be after the game is played. Hopefully not. But Georgia versus Alabama, pretty much the only good game this weekend. But, you know, I could see that one going either way. What are your thoughts on that matchup, Zach?
Look, Alabama the last couple of years, they've been 44-21, 50-18. It's been high scoring. It's been high flying. It's Tua. Oh, no. I'm not going to say no defense, but a high lack of defense. And Georgia is the exact opposite. Year after year, it's punch you in the face. We're going to get 3 yards a pop. We're going to stop you on defense. I mean, Alabama gave, what, like 40 to, oh, was it Ole Miss?
Yeah, it was a lot of points, a lot of yards.
A lot of points, a lot of yards. I mean, I don't know. What are you going to do when you're not putting up points like that against a secondary, a front seven full of five stars? I really don't see Alabama just going out there. And especially Mac Jones, he's good. He's a good kid. He's not Tua. And this wide receiver court, it's not the same as it was 2 years ago or last year. So I see Georgia winning this. I see Georgia putting a hole in Alabama's chest. I got 27-14 Georgia.
You think Alabama's scoring 14 points?
I think Alabama's scoring 14 points. I think they've been playing soft football for the last couple of years. You know, it's aired out, but I don't know. I see Georgia controlling the ball. I see Nick Saban. He's sick. He's getting old. He's got COVID. I know he tested, like, negative this time. It's an absolute fluke, but I don't know. I don't see Alabama being able to bang with these boys.
I feel like we have this talk every year when Alabama plays a top team. I guess last year, you know, LSU got the best of them. But people always try to say, you know, these top teams are going to take down Alabama, and it just seems to not really happen too much. You said Alabama scoring 14 points. As bad as they played last week, you know, they had a ton of points. You know, their offense is not the problem. Mac Jones, like you touched on, he looks really good. Najee Harris had well over 200 yards last week, I believe. And then, I mean, Devontae Smith and Jaylen Waddle are both first-round talents. I see Alabama putting up a decent amount of points against a Georgia team that hasn't allowed double digits yet, I believe. They just held Auburn and Bo Nix to 6 points, I believe. But I think Alabama gets it done. I'll go 42-31. Bit of a high-scoring SEC game. Okay, so we disagree on that one, but let's go right into the NFL. Right now, we are on week 6. Again, I'm not sure when this podcast will come out, but Zach, what's the first game we have to predict?
Texans-Titans,
okay. This one should be fairly simple. The Texans, I believe, got their first win last week. And the Titans are still undefeated, dominated the Bills. That was Tuesday, I believe. So short week for the Titans, but shouldn't be a problem against the Texans. I'll go Titans 31-14. What do you have?
Look, as you said, Texans, they got their first one. They haven't tasted victory in a while. The Titans, they just beat the hype chain. They just beat the Super Bowl champions, and they go and drill a hole through their chest. I know I'm saying that a lot, but still. I mean, the way the Titans play, it's smash mouth, and the Texans are quite the opposite. I mean, they want to air it out. They want to score a lot of points. They haven't played defense in years, so I don't know. I don't see the Texans surviving this game. I think they're going to be tapping out by the midway to the third.
All right, what's the next game?
All right, we got Ravens-Eagles, and honestly, the Eagles, I got Ertz on my fantasy team, so I hope he scores a touchdown or two, but I see the Ravens blowing them out. I don't see this being a close game. I mean, come on, you got the MVP, you got Mark Green, you got Heisman in the backfield, you got Hollywood Brown at wide receiver. Who do the Eagles have? Who's their number one wide receiver?
Travis Fulgham, I believe.
This is what I'm talking about. I mean, they've got a decent O-line, but they have Carson Wentz. And Carson Wentz, I don't like the Carson Wentz slander, but to be honest, he's kind of deserving of it when you do absolutely nothing and you want to, oh, it's a receiving core, but is it always a receiving core? Come on. I got Ravens 35-13 or something like that.
Yeah, for the Eagles to be competitive, they'll need Miles Sanders to have a big game. He had a good stats game last week, 2 touchdowns, over 100 yards, I believe. But 76 of those 100 yards came on one play against the Steelers. Besides that, the Steelers pretty much shut him down. The Eagles will need to establish the run game, but the Ravens have been pretty solid against the run this year, especially last week against Joe Mixon. I think the Ravens win, I'll say 31-17. What's the next game?
Falcons-Vikings.
Okay, this is a bit of an interesting matchup. The Vikings played very well last week, but they unfortunately lost. I believe the Falcons are 0-5 now. They'll get Julio back, but I don't know if it'll be enough. It's kind of hard to imagine Matt Ryan falling to 0-6, but I think the Vikings are playing pretty well. Adam Thielen's one of the top receivers in the league. I'll go Vikings 28-24.
I don't see This is a hard one. I feel like neither of them are good. I had decent expectations for both of them. I think Julio coming back is going to have a pretty good impact. I don't know if it's going to be big enough. I see this being... it's going to be an ugly game. You're not going to watch it. If you're trying to learn the game of football, you're not going to watch this game. I see a lot of turnovers. I see Matt Ryan doing a lot of dumb things. I don't know. I see this being a sloppy one. I think it's going to be like 24-10, and it's just going to... I couldn't even tell you which way this one's going to go. I think Julio's going to have a touchdown or two, but this is not going to be a game you want to remember.
I agree. What's the next game?
Browns Steelers. Talk about a heavyweight fight. You got Browns, they got Nick Chubb, they got OBJ, they've got superstars, they got...
Chubb is hurt.
He's still hurt?
I think, he was on IR. Kareem Hunt, though.
Hunt's good.
Hunt's good.
Look, Hunt's... I'm not going to say he's a Walmart Nick Chubb. He's a discount. He's on the clearance rack. You're still going to buy him, you know what I mean? It's still a comfortable material that he's made of. But the Steelers, defense. The steel curtain is back, I'm trying to tell you guys. I see this one being... It could get ugly. You got Myles Garrett versus the Steelers again. I think he said earlier that this is going to be a true grudge match. So, I don't know. I see this being... It's not good. Right now, I don't see this being a 28-21 or a 35-28 or a 35-20. I see it being 21-14 going into the fourth quarter. I see it being punch you in the face and I punch you and you punch me. Then who's going to just want it more? So, I have the Steelers winning. I think Big Ben's going to have another game-winning drive. That's how I just see this one ending. I feel like they're too young. They haven't been in that situation before yet. Baker's Big 12. OBJ, he's flashy. I don't know. I don't see that.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's going to be close. I don't know. I can't see the Browns being 5-1. Maybe that's just me being used to them being so bad. But, they're playing good. Their defense is stepping up. Offensively, everybody knows how good they are there. The Steelers' opponents, I believe, are combined 3-17-1. So, they're undefeated, but it's hard to call them, truly undefeated until they play teams like the Browns. But, I don't know. I know Deontay Johnson for the Steelers, though, but I think they'll still be able to get it done. I'll say 38-27, high scoring game. Two good defenses, but I think they're two better offenses. What's the next game?
Bengals Colts.
Not a thrilling game. You do get to see Joe Burrow. After last week, I don't know if you want to see him again anytime soon. Phillip Rivers and the Colts are playing solid, but they did not play well last week against the Cleveland Browns. This is a tough one. I do like Joe Burrow, but I don't think he has enough talent on that Bengals team to get it done this week. I'll go Colts 28-20. I don't... these scores are random, but it's what we think. What do you got?
the Colts, they're boring. They're boring to watch. I'm not going to watch this game. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to watch this game. We got an old Phillip Rivers. They play good defense. Darius Leonard's doing his thing over there. He's not hurt, is he?
It feels like everybody's hurt. I would not be surprised.
Okay. Anyway, well, regardless, they're playing good defense down there. I think he's going to be good, but this simply is not the year for it. I feel like, you can blame the line all you want, but eventually Burrow's going to have to sit in there, step up, make that throw, and get hit. I don't think he's at that level yet. I think it's going to be a mistake. I think it's going to be a lot of mistakes. I think Phillip Rivers is going to show that he is the veteran, and I think he's just going to win like a 28-13. It's going to be, classic, just I'm better than you kind of game.
Yeah, expect a lot of running in that game. What's the next one?
Lions-Jaguars, and this is an interesting one. Not really. It's also pretty boring. The Lions, and then you probably think, they can make a big play slate. No, he's actually not on the Lions anymore. You probably didn't know that, but... The Lions just, they're not good. The Jaguars aren't good. I have a friend named Shim. He kind of looks like the head quarterback for the Jaguars. And I don't know. That's really the best I can say about the Jaguars. Both these teams, they need to be focused on tanking this year. Jaguars, you lost Fournette. You lost Ramsey. You lost Calais Campbell. It seems like you're just giving away players. Both these teams. Big play slate is the best thing to happen to Detroit since 8 Mile. Come on. This is... It's horrendous. I don't even want to predict this game. You can go ahead.
Okay, I think that's a little harsh. You know, the Jaguars suck, obviously, but Gardner Minshew has been pretty electric this season, you know, helping my fantasy team to a 4-1 record. Not a ton of weapons. I think James Robinson's the starting running back for Jacksonville. Similar with Detroit, I'd like to see them get TJ Hawkinson involved, and that's because he's also on my fantasy team, but I feel like they can really stretch the field if they throw the ball to him a little bit more. This is a tough one, you know, could go either way. Don't really care about it, but I'll go Minshew, leads Jaguars to a 31-23 win. What's the next one?
We got Bears-Panthers, and let me just say, Bears defense, I mean, they just beat, what are they, 4-1?
They're 4-1, but I mean, yes, that's what the record is. They're not playing like they're a 4-1 team, though.
Look, Nick Foles is the future. That was a joke. He's not actually the future. But the Panthers, they're not the good. CMC still hurt?
Actually, I believe he's coming back this week, but Mike Davis has been pretty good in his absence.
Well, the Bears, they play good defense. They, I mean, they even had Brady out there confused. The greatest man in the history of the game. He didn't think it was the wrong down. He was confused. You know what I mean? So I don't see who's starting for the Panthers at quarterback.
Teddy Bridgewater.
He's not bad.
He's having a good season.
He's not bad, but he's not good enough to tear apart this Bears team. People forget about Khalil Mack. People think he had... all the headlines stop talking about him. People think, like, he's not good. He's still tossing... He's hip-tossing 350-pound linemen. So I see the Bears winning this one. I don't want to say a slugfest. I think this is going to be hard for the Panthers to really get going. They got DJ Moore, former Chirp. He's good, but I don't see the Panthers... I don't see them having more points than the Bears by the end of this game.
This might be the first real one that we disagree on. Carolina won 3 in a row in McCaffrey's absence. You know, and you can't just say, oh, they're a better team without McCaffrey. You know, obviously McCaffrey will help them. And I'm 99.8% sure he's coming back this week. So, you know, it was an impressive win for the Bears last week. But again, I'm just... I watched them play a lot this year. I don't know why. They're just not an impressive team. You know, I think... If anybody could have used Le'Veon, who just signed with the Chiefs, it's probably Chicago. You know, they need more electricity in that offense. They got David Montgomery as their starting running back. Allen Robinson at receiver is pretty good. But, I mean, you know, you'll need a lot out of Nick Foles to win this game to keep up with Teddy Bridgewater. You know, I didn't think I'd be saying that this year, but he's playing well. Mike Davis is playing well. DJ Moore finally got a touchdown. And then you add McCaffrey into that. I think the Red Hot Panthers get it done 28-24.
Interesting. All right, we got Washington Giants next.
This is the game that you'll be flipping on during the Ravens commercial breaks, and it's going to be very unfortunate having to watch it. The teams have combined to win one game. You know, hard to blame the Giants. When you lose Saquon, you know, you don't have much left. Not sure who's going to start for Washington. I don't know if Kyle Allen's back yet. I don't know if Alex Smith's going to start. I don't really care. I'll say the Giants get it done because I think Daniel Jones still has a lot of potential, even though he's not getting the wins. You know, Darius Slayton's playing well. Hopefully he's not hurt. I don't know. Everybody's hurt. But it'll be fun to see McLaurin versus Slayton, but that's about it. I'll go Giants 34-20.
You said Daniels is back.
Who's back?
Quarterback for the Giants. What's his name?
Daniel Jones?
Daniel Jones.
Yeah, he's been playing the whole year.
Yeah,
I don't blame you for not knowing that.
Just flew was injured. No. Anyway, as you can see, not a very interesting game. Giants, first thing that comes to mind is Saquon. Like, oh, they got Saquon. They don't have Saquon.
No,
so.
Saquon.
I mean, not much really to say about the Giants or the Washington football team. I mean, biggest headline they've made was changing their name for the Washington, and then for the Giants, biggest headline was Saquon getting injured. So. You're not going to watch this game. I know it's going to be boring when the Ravens are up 38-3 at halftime. It's going to be more entertaining than this game. I'm going to just say 17-7. Who cares? Broncos Patriots next. This is Cam's out, right?
Cam is back. He's practicing. I'm not sure about Gilmore, but I'm going to interrupt you there. So this one has a bit of an asterisk on it as of right now. They are scheduled to play. More positives came within the Patriots organization. They might be false. I don't know. Feels like every morning you wake up, a new team has cases, and then throughout the day you realize they're false, so it's really not that big of a deal. But we're going to assume that this game is being played, and who do you have, Zach?
if this does get played and Cam's in and Gilmore's out, what's his name's injured, right?
Drew Lock. He's back this week. Everybody's back this week, I guess. But yes, he's back.
Drew Lock. You got Judy. No Von Miller.
Mm. No, Courtland Sutton either.
So I feel like if Cam's there, I think the Patriots do what they usually do to AFC teams, like a 28-31 to 14-17 kind of thing. I mean, it's strictly business. I know Brady's gone, but it's still Belichick. Yeah, so I think 31-14 Broncos. I don't think this is going to be anything special.
You said Broncos.
Oh, Patriots. Oh, my
God. Caught me off guard. Yeah, so Patriots were competitive against the Chiefs. You know, they couldn't get anything going on offense, of course, but, you know, Brian Hoyer. But, you know, they get Cam back finally. I really like the Patriots team. You know, at running back, you got Rex Burkhead. You got James White. You got Damian Harris, who went over 100 yards last week. And then you're going to get Sony back eventually, Sony Michel. That's a lot of talent. You add an Edelman at receiver. You add a dual-threat quarterback in Cam. I think the Patriots can make a run in the playoffs. You know, I do like what the Broncos are doing. They've got more injuries than anybody, and I don't think they can beat a healthy Patriots team. I'll go Broncos 38. Whoa, I did it too. I'll go Patriots. No, I'll say Patriots 35-17. Sounds about right. What's the next one?
I gotta scroll back down. Give me 1 second.
Not prepared.
Okay, I scrolled up to see something. Buccaneers-Packers.
Ooh, this is a 4:25 game. I will be watching this one. I'll go
Brady's
first.
Brady's 1-1 against Rodgers, by the way. Brady's 1-1 against Rodgers.
All time?
Yeah.
They've only played twice?
That's what I saw the stat. I'm like, what?
There's no way they only played twice. They've been around for like... There's not... What? They've been around for like 18 years.
Okay. I saw the stat on NFL Network.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
And they play each other every 4 years. It should be, yeah. Okay, so that does not mean anything for this game, but it's an interesting thing to know. Buccaneers coming off that disappointing loss. They did not look too good. Chris Godwin hopefully will be back. He's just been playing injured, only played 2 games this year. Hopefully he'll be back. Packers look really good. They're still undefeated, right? Yeah. You know, Aaron Rodgers, it's like everybody thought he'd be bad this year. I don't know why. You know, I guess didn't surround him with enough weapons, but, I mean, you have a top three receiver in the league, and Devontae Adams finally coming back. People forget Aaron Rodgers is doing all this stuff, you know, with Alan Lazard as his number one receiver. You know, he's out now, but Devontae only played 1.5 games, really. And Aaron Jones looking like an MVP candidate running back. You know, Jamal Williams is a good backup. They have a lot of talent on offense, and their defense is solid as well. I would really like to see Brady get a big win in this one, but I think the Packers' offense is just too good. I'll go 35-28 Packers. Packers offense is too good, I believe. I said defense.
You know, Aaron Rodgers is a bad man, but you've heard that 100 times. And it's hard for me to pick against Brady under the lights. It really is.
4:25, but yeah.
4:25, it's gonna get dark eventually. It's fall, you know, it's cold. You know what I mean? I mean, here's the thing. Brady, I'm not gonna say he's lost it just because of what happened last week. Mm-hmm. That was a fiasco. I think that's 1 in a trillion that ever happened. I do think that the Packers are right now. This is maybe not in 10 weeks, maybe not in the walk, maybe not when the playoffs come, maybe not in February, but right now, I think the Packers are simply a better team than the Buccaneers. I think their offense is better. I think Aaron Rodgers saw they got to Jordan and was like, okay, I can just turn up now. Beep, 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 beep. And now he's simply, it seems like, I think it's like 11 touchdowns, 1 interception or something. Has he thrown an interception?
Oh, man, I don't know. I would assume so. You know, we're 5 weeks in, but it's Rodgers. He doesn't throw a lot of picks.
He is lighting this team. The Buccaneers defense, they're not there yet. I think Brady, he's never the type to just lay down, so this isn't going to be some sort of blowout. I think it's going to be 31-17. I think they score maybe in garbage time a field goal, 31-20. I don't see the Buccaneers keeping up with the Packers.
I agree. What's the next one?
Rams-Niners.
This is Sunday night, correct?
Sunday night, 8:20 p.m.
Ooh, you know, I don't know if I'll be tuning into this one. The Niners, it's unfortunate all the injuries they've had to deal with, but you still got to play competitive football, and that's just not what they're doing. You know, losing to the Eagles, losing to the Dolphins. The Rams are playing really good football. 4-1, maybe, probably. 3-2 at worst, 4-1 at best. You know, no Jimmy G, I assume, for San Francisco. They played him last week, then they took him out. You know, the defense has been decimated. The offense has been decimated. I think Debo should be coming back soon, whether that's next week or in a couple weeks. I'm not sure exactly, but I don't know. I mean, the Rams might be a better team regardless of the injuries. They're just playing really good football. Sean McVay really stepping up. I'll go Rams 34-27.
Picking a lot of high scores.
I just realized that, especially on the Rams defense with Nick Mullins or whoever starting at quarterback. I'm going to change my score just because you said that. I was 34-13, probably a bit more realistic for this one.
Look, it's Sunday. You've got asynchronous or synchronous the next morning. Do not waste your time watching this game to the end. I'm telling you now. I'm not saying it's not going to be close. I'm just going to say it's not going to be enjoyable. I mean, the Niners, yeah, they have a run game, but that run game is only going to work if you have a defense that can support that and keep you within these games. Their entire running back situation, they've kind of just been rotating. There's been guys who have been banged up, and then by Thursday, it's like, okay, you're good, and then it's like they're questionable again. I hate it for fantasy. Bosa's out. Who's it? Was it Buckner or Armstead who's out too?
Armstead is out. They traded Buckner to the Colts.
Oh, yeah, that's embarrassing. Anyway, all these guys out. I mean, I don't know. This is another one where it makes me throw up in my mouth. I'm not even going to give a pick. One of the Chiefs versus Bills.
Hang on. I think Solomon Thomas is out. I don't know if Armstead's out. Or maybe they're both out. They're probably both out. That's how the 49ers season's out, been. Man. Yeah.
It's just,
moving on. Two Monday night games.
We got two Monday night games. This is a little bit more interesting. Chiefs Bills. Grayson actually told me today. I was like, can you name? You know, I'm a Herbert guy. You know, I'm a Herbert guy. I said, okay. I said Herbert's top 10. I kind of said it. It was kind of ridiculous for me to say, but I'm like, can you name 10 guys better than Herbert? He names a couple guys that, and he says Josh Allen. I'm like, Josh Allen's a legit guy. He really is. I think top 10. Right now, he's playing like he's top 10. He's playing like an animal. I mean, but then again, she's just got Bell.
He's not playing this week. He needs to go 6 straight days with a negative COVID test in order to be able to play.
All right. Well, either way, it's still the Chiefs. I know they just lost to the Raiders. This is an interesting one.
It's very interesting.
This is a very interesting one. I don't see the Chiefs losing twice in a row, though.
That's it right there.
It's really hard for me to imagine Mahomes going 0-2 in anything. You know what I mean? So I'm going to take the Chiefs just because they're the Chiefs and defending champ. I know they just lost last week, but they lost by, what, 8?
It was a fairly close game. They made it interesting at the end.
Okay, so, I mean, you can't go wrong betting with the MVP and arguably the most talented quarterback of all time. I'm going to take the Chiefs 34-27. Yeah.
Yeah, like you said, it really comes down to who's going to lose 2 games in a row, and I just can't see it being Mahomes. Especially with how the Bills' defense looked last week, you know, obviously the Chiefs and Titans are 2 very different offenses, but, you know, Bills dealing with some injuries defensively. I really like what they're doing offensively, even though they didn't really get going last week. I mean, Stephon Diggs, former Terp, just absolutely lighting up the box scores every week. But, yeah, I mean, sometimes you just have to be real with these predictions. I can't see the Chiefs losing back-to-back. I can't see Mahomes losing back-to-back. Other Chiefs, I think they light up the score, but I'll go 42-31.
42-31? 42-31. That seems legit. All right. Last game of the week, Cardinals-Cowboys. Look, I really want to pick the Cardinals. The last time I picked the Cardinals, -2.5 against the Lions, I lost. I parlayed that with, like, dude, I lost, and now I have nothing. My bookie won't even let me deposit funds into there. I'm down horrible. So, therefore, I now hate the Cardinals. But the Cowboys just lost Dak. I think Zeke's an animal. I think Zeke's still underrated, in my opinion. But their defense is horrendous, and you can't win when you play horrendous defense. But at the same time, the Cardinals, I think Kyler up until, like, 2 weeks ago had, like, more picks and touchdowns. Pretty sure I told me easily. I'm like, come on, man. But I still see the Cowboys being the Cowboys. I think Zeke's going to run for like 120 and 2 touchdowns. But I think the Cardinals are going to win like 31-17 or something like that.
So you got Arizona.
Arizona by multiple points.
All right. I'm going to have to go Dallas for this one. I think I feel like a loss here would really, you know, spiral their season out of control. I just can't see that happening. I think they're going to play inspired football. You know, Andy Dalton, 2-time Pro Bowler. He's not just some backup quarterback. Hopefully Dallas will run the ball more. You know, Zeke was getting, you know, 11 touches a game these past few weeks because they're throwing 60 times a game because their defense is allowing 40 points in the first half. Hopefully they'll play more Dallas Cowboys football. It's just tough because, you know, the Cowboys have been competitive in games this year because of Dak. You know, that defense has been horrendous. The running game has been non-existent, but Dak has been keeping them in the games. So it's just really tough to see them winning this game. You know, the Cardinals have been up and down this year, but I don't know. I have to think that Zeke will step up finally. And remember, Andy Dalton, you're giving him CeeDee Lamb, who's been good. You're giving him Michael Gallup, who's been good. You're giving him Amari Cooper. I don't believe any of those guys are hurt. I mean, we saw what a healthy Dalton can do with Tyler Boyd and AJ Green back in the... No, I'm being serious. I mean, he's a two-time Pro Bowler, and then, you know, Green got hurt. You know, suddenly the Bengals suck. But, I mean, not too long ago, they were a playoff contender. Dalton's Pro Bowl numbers, like I keep saying, but you know, he's not just some backup quarterback. I'll go Cowboys, get a huge win to hopefully lead them to a eventual division title. I'll say, I hate to keep saying 31. It's my favorite number for some reason. I'll go 34-23 Cowboys. That concludes our week 6 prediction.
Can I touch back on the Cowboys? You said getting back to playing Cowboys football. And when you say Cowboys football, are you talking about like that Zeke rookie year, Dak rookie year? Is that what you're talking
Absolutely.
About?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, 20 carries a game for Zeke. That's Cowboys football, at least.
At least.
20 plus. I mean, he can't have at least 11 carries or 53 yards like he's been doing. But, you know, I mean, the Cowboys O-line is not what it was back in Zeke's rookie year, which is also something you have to keep in mind.
But, I think for the Cowboys to get back to that, obviously Dak has proven, hey, I can get it done. Because a lot of people, their question like, oh, they're getting Zach Dak all this money. I think this year, maybe you're not going to make the playoffs. Maybe you're going to lose this game. Maybe Dalton's just passed that. I'm not saying he is. Maybe Dalton's going to lead them to the playoffs. I'm not sure. But maybe not. So I think if you're Dallas this offseason, and I hate to focus on the offseason week, what, 6? But I'm saying maybe not just also just work on getting that O-line better. Because once you get the O-line better and they're blocking, you can run the ball. Now you're helping the defense. Now the defense all right, got a second. Now you go out and get a pick, and then you're smashing. Then all of a sudden, 50-yard bomb to CeeDee. These teams are tired. They're gassed. I think it's going to start in the O-line for Dallas to get back to where they were 2017.
I agree. Good analysis there. We're going to completely switch sports, though. We'll touch on Korean Zombie versus Ortega first, because that's tomorrow night. You know, again, the fight might happen before this podcast comes out. Hopefully not. We'll try to get it out Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, maybe even tonight. But, you know, this is a very exciting fight. Korean Zombie versus Ortega. Ortega's been gone for quite a while. He's back. Korean Zombie been just recently finished Frankie Edgar, I believe. That was this year. Crazy fight. I don't even know where to begin. What do you have to say about it?
Ortega's one who cut off all his hair, right?
He did cut off his hair, yes.
Now, look. I don't want to compare what he did, because what he did, it was a good thing, all right? But we've seen many times when fighters do stuff with their hair, when they get a haircut, and I think they're like some completely different person. Except for Adesanya, actually. But I'm talking about Sonny Mel in specific. He makes his hair all these funky colors, and then he goes in, he's supposed to be like this, and then he gets leg kicked, and then he steps on his... I'm not saying that cutting your hair is going to make you lose, but I don't like seeing nonsense. I don't mean to say nonsense.
Not nonsense.
I don't like seeing you kind of making... I don't want to say a show, because it was definitely for a good cause, but let's not make that your thing, because the only headline I'm seeing of you, it's not Brian Ortega hits new, I don't know, whatever. I'm not seeing any training videos. I'm seeing you cut your hair in the news. I would really like to see, and who knows if Ortega's going to be the same guy. Korean Zombie's hot. Hot. You don't want to play with fire. You know, and I don't know. I don't see Ortega. I think Ortega's slower than Zombie. I think Zombie catches him with like a head kick or just a tss, and then it's... And then Herb's stopping the fight.
You know, I agree. Ortega has been gone since 2018. He got absolutely decimated by Max Holloway. But, you know, before that, he was a very elite fighter. I believe he's 14-0 before that, 13-0. And then that Holloway fight, you know, set him back for a couple of years. I don't think Korean Zombie's a good guy to fight in your first fight back after a couple of years. You know, he's going to be aggressive. He's going to be quick. I wouldn't be surprised if this one gets finished in the first round. I think Ortega's too good to to let that happen, though, but I'll say Korean Zombie, like you said, knockout, TKO, second round. That leads us into UFC 254. Now, a few weeks ago, this card was looking very good. Now it is not. You know, you have the two really good fights at the top of the card. You know, RDA is being out. I believe the Ortega Korean Zombie fight was originally on this card. Not 100% sure, but I believe it was. And for that reason, we're only going to talk about the top three fights and even like the third fight. It's just, I mean, it's a heavyweight fight. You don't necessarily need to tune in, though. We're talking about Alexander Volkov versus Walt Harris. I'll start with this one. Simply experience Volkov, 31-8 or something. He can get it done on the feet. He can get it done on the ground. Harris's last fight started off really strong, you know, after he dealt with that tragedy. You know, it looked like he was going to pick up a big win, and then he just got tired after 2 minutes against Alistair Overeem. I don't believe that would be the same case. I certainly hope that Walt Harris has been doing a lot of conditioning, a lot of stamina training in camp. But I don't know, Volkov's just you know, that Russian power. I think he gets it done. I'll say
Russian power.
Yeah, I'll say this is tough because I don't see Harris lasting for a decision, but I don't see Volkov necessarily finishing him. I'll go Volkov second round rear naked choke. Gets Harris on the ground, gets him tired. What do you think, Zach?
I'm looking at Harris's record. He's 13-8-0-1 no contest. The two people who come to mind when I think about one no contest are Daniel Cormier and John Jones, and I don't see them losing to Volkov, so I'm going to go with Harris on this one.
So, yeah, Zach is not.
We're going to our co-main event. We have Robert Whitaker versus Jared Cannonier. What do you think about this one? This is an interesting fight.
This is an extremely interesting fight. You know, the winner gets a title shot, 99% sure. I mean, it's tough. You know, you think Cannonier started this up and coming because, you know, the last few years he really turned it on, but, you know, he's 36 years old, so it's really now or never for him. But Whitaker, I mean, just dominates people, minus the Izzy fight, of course. You know, that was a tough one. You know, he just beat Till, correct? That was a very good performance against Darren Till. Who's Cannonier beat? You know, he's beat Jack Hermanson. He's beat, I think, Derek Brunson. He's beat Anderson Silva, and that's really what got him in this position. I think Whitaker's resume is a lot more impressive. I think Whitaker, you know, he has that title fight experience. You know, he's been in these types of fights before. You know, he just had this type of fight against Darren Till, and he looked fantastic in it. This is definitely Cannonier's biggest fight of his career. I'm not convinced that he's an elite title contender just yet, but I don't know. This is a tough one. I'll say Whitaker by decision.
Cannonier, 3-0, his last three?
3-0, his last three.
3-0 at middleweight. This is at middleweight. He went up. He faced, what, Reyes in the current light heavyweight champ. We're talking about, like, high-tier guys.
You're right.
Reyes almost beat John Jones. People are going to say Reyes did beat John Jones, so you're counting him, that's one loss, and then the guy who knocked out that guy, those were his last two losses. Yeah. I'm talking about now he's 3-0 at middleweight. I mean, he's picking up his stride. I know he's 36, but really, this is kind of, I don't want to say it's his prime because he's 36, but at the same time, like, this is the best shot he's going to get. Well, Whitaker, he had a decent performance against Darren Till. I feel like it was pretty evenly matched for that decision. I wouldn't say it could have gone either way, but it was pretty close. So.
Disagree.
Really?
I disagree.
I think that Till fight was closer than a lot of people think.
Convincing victory for Whitaker.
I think he did. I think he won. I think Till was probably three punches away from winning, though.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So, I'm going to take Cannonier in this one. I feel like he's got the momentum. I mean, Rob Whitaker was unconscious two fights ago. People aren't, like, are we just going to let that slide? I feel like maybe, I'm not saying this is kind of a conspiracy, but maybe, hey, if I beat this guy, well, I'm going to fight Izzy next. Last time I fought Izzy, oh no. I don't know. Maybe it'll get to him. I don't think it will. I kind of just made that up. But Rob's good. But I think Cannonier, snowball effect. Whitaker just got a good win, but Cannonier can get three in a row. And you really think about it. I mean, he only has one. I got Cannonier.
All right. Well, that is a very interesting pick. I will touch on the fact that you said, you know, Whitaker was unconscious two fights ago. How about the fight after he was unconscious? Had arguably the best performance of his career. I think he can keep that going against Cannonier, who's, you know, not necessarily any better than Darren Till. We'll move on. I'll let you start this one. You know, your favorite weight class. Habib versus Justin Gaethje. This one has been long awaited. I'll let you start.
There's not much to say, but at the same time, there's plenty to say. I mean, this is styles make fights. I mean, there is not a better... I mean, you got Gaethje, phenomenal wrestler. Obviously not Habib's level, but the way his wrestling is so... It fits so well into MMA and his style, and I'm going to punch you in the face. If you shoot for a double, oh, I can get out of that, I can sprawl. He's a phenomenal wrestler. He just simply doesn't use it. I will never understand why wrestlers don't wrestle.
I don't know,
but he doesn't use wrestling.
Shout out Cormier. Keep going.
Sheesh, don't do that. Don't do that to my boy.
Keep going.
Anyway, as I was saying. You know, phenomenal wrestler. He's got heavy hands, too. And I think stylistically, Conor's my boy. I feel like his foot was a balloon. I feel like stylistically, that was probably the worst fight he could have gotten. I think this is Habib's worst fight stylistically that he can get presented for the next rest of his career, basically. I see Gaethje as easily the most dangerous guy until Conor gets that rematch, of course. But I see Justin Gaethje as his most dangerous opponent. But Habib, obviously, you can say all these things you said about Poirier, you said about Conor, you said about It's Habib. He's 28-0, and no contest. So, I mean, he's gone out there, he's going to grab you, he's going to get you up against the fence, he's going to maul you. He's done it every single time. Why is Gaethje going to be different? Gaethje said it himself. He's been completely honest. If he gets me on my back, I'm going to lose. If he gets me against the cage, I'm going to lose. Gaethje knows what he needs to do to win. Habib knows, everyone knows what Habib needs to do to win. But one thing that people sleep on, Habib's not just some guy who's going to grab your legs, hug your legs, and then hold on for dear life. This kid can strike. He kind of knocked down Conor. I'm not going to say he fully knocked him down, but he can strike. He's not completely clueless on the feet. I think Habib is going to go out there. He's going to strike with him. I think Justin Gaethje, he's going to look good. I think he's going to look good. And then I think Habib's eventually is going to get a hold of him, and it's going to be just like every other one. Habib, third round, rear naked choke.
You know, I've said since he was in the World Series of Fighting that if there's one person that can compete with Habib stylistically, it's Gaethje. You know, you talk about Conor. What's the one way that Habib's going to beat Conor? He's going to take him down. He's going to gas him out. He's going to finish him on the ground. That's what he did. I don't think Habib can do that against Gaethje. You know, Gaethje, it's really tough to get too excited against for this fight, because I mean Gaethje already has two UFC losses. Was he like 5-2, maybe 4-2, 5-2? So he's not like some, you know, undefeated guy coming in to take down Habib. But I just think, like you said, it's a stylistical fight. I think Gaethje matches up very well with him, but there's just something about Habib I cannot see him losing. You know, it's his first fight since his dad, you know, unfortunately passed away. You know, that obviously hurt him a lot, but he's still been training as hard as ever, as has Gaethje. This is a tough one. It could really go either way. I mean, what's the one way Gaethje wins is he knocks him out. I think we can both agree on that one. I mean, Gaethje doesn't submit him on the ground. Gaethje doesn't, you know, win.
He's not beating him a decision.
Yeah.
Not
and, you know, we've never really seen Habib hurt. You know, we go into a lot of his fights talking about, oh, the guy's only chance is to knock him out, and that just doesn't happen. I'll have to say Habib, but I don't see him finishing Gaethje either. I think, you know, this is the biggest fight of Gaethje's career. He's not going to just get pummeled on the ground. You know, he's an elite wrestler, former college wrestler. So I'll say Habib. I'll say split decision. This is one you're going to want to watch.
The thing, as you said before, the only way Gaethje can't do anything on the ground, that obviously, that's, he's not going to beat him on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
He's most likely not going to beat him in points. The only way Gaethje's going to beat him is if he catches him. You're not going to, because if you hit him once and then you wobble him and then you charge after him, guess what? You're going to throw a punch, he's going to come under it, and now you're on your back and now you're in a terrible situation. I think the only way Gaethje's going to be able to win, he's not going to be able to do what he just did to Ferguson. Ferguson kept coming in with his... He just kept coming. He kept walking. He's not shooting. There is no threat of wrestling. It's the exact opposite with Habib. It's like these guys they have too much pride to go for a single. The angle's right there. Grab it. Do something. Habib's done this his whole entire life. I don't see Gaethje being like you said. He's what, 3-2 in the UFC?
4-2, 5-2 probably. He lost to Eddie Alvarez and Poirier pretty early on. He was 1-2 at one point.
Look, Gaethje is a really dangerous fighter. He's a bomb. I think he's definitely improved since those two losses, 100%. Mm-hmm. He's worked on his gas tank. He's worked on just not gassing himself out, taking his time. Like his coach said in the Ferguson fight, hey, instead of putting 100 in it, put 90 in it, and then you get the 1-2. I think he's learned a lot, but Khabib has been doing this since he was 5 years old, wrestling bears. Gaethje's no bear. I think it's just going to be too really good versus great.
Let me ask you something, though. So let's say a round stays on the feet the entire time. You know, Gaethje...
Not a chance. There's not a chance the round stays on the feet the entire time.
You think Khabib just takes him down each round?
I mean,
that's what he does, but I mean, Gaethje, it's just hard to see him on his back the entire fight.
The thing is, the only evidence you can really say that points to that happening is the third round of the Conor fight, where he basically never went on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference between that is, Conor's jiu-jitsu is actually pretty underrated. I'm not going to say his defense is better than Gaethje's, but Conor's jiu-jitsu is really underrated, and Khabib probably accidentally gassed himself out. Can I say Khabib?
You said
Khabib. Khabib Nurmagomedov. I probably accidentally gassed. You saw that ground and pound. That's where everyone's going to look. That's where everyone's going to put it on memes. You know what I mean? He probably gassed himself out with that. You saw Dominic Cruz. People laughing for saying, oh, he's trying to gas Khabib out when he's getting punched in the face. But seriously, Khabib gassed himself out. He was emotional. He was trying to put a hole through Conor's entire skull. I don't think he's going to do it with Gaethje. It's a respect thing. He's going to impress him. He's going to do how he did Poirier. He's just going to lay on top of you. I'm going to gas you. I'm going to lay on top of you. Gaethje's not going to have the legs to just be able to deny all his takedowns. Because it's not one shot and then, okay, then another shot. It's a shot, then punch shot, then punch shot. And he can do that 5 times in a row. And how much gas do you have? And what are you going to do when you eventually kind of sprawl and then hit you with that overhand right? I don't see Gaethje winning this.
Well, we will find out in just a couple of weeks. Well, is this next week or 2 weeks?
8 days. Wow. Oh, wait.
It's
8 days.
October 24th. Yeah, there you go. Just under 1 week. This is going to be...
Just over 1 week.
That's my bad. Just over 1 week. Jeez. My apologies. Yeah. I was doing so well. Okay, so that about concludes
everything. Hold on.
Oh.
Before we finish this, we're going to talk about UFC. Jones Stipe.
What do you think? Huh. It's kind of... putting a spot here. That's a very interesting one. Obviously, I feel like you're gonna mention Jones' last couple performances as the reason why Stipe is gonna win, because you know Jones didn't look too great in his last couple performances. Whatever. I think Jones fits the heavyweight division perfectly. I think he's strong. He's a wrestler. Doesn't need to use his wrestling a lot. You know, he's not gonna be a worse striker than anyone in that division. I feel like, you know, stamina-wise, he'll have the best stamina in the division. I feel like, you know, light heavyweight, you got a lot of powerful guys that can go 5 rounds. They can fight on the ground. They can fight on the feet. There's not as many of those guys in the heavyweight division. But if we're going to talk about Stipe specifically, that's tough. You know, he beat Cormier fair and square twice. But you want to talk about the eye pokes? No. Jones, I don't know. I mean... it's a fair argument that he hasn't looked too great in his last couple performances, but he's not going to lose a fight before he retires. I'll say Jones. But again, that fight's not official. That's just speculation.
Well, yeah, but here's how I see it. I think Stipe, he's a bigger man.
Yeah.
He's a bigger man. Jones is taller. He's a lot skinnier.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be a casual. He's just going to pick the guy who's the most muscular. Stipe is quick, especially for a heavyweight.
Definitely.
Like, Jones has never been hit by a heavyweight before. I guess you can say DC, but it's at light heavyweight, so you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Stipe is a different type of animal. And to do what he did to DC, I mean, he was wrestling DC. He dog-walked DC into the cage a couple times. He was hitting with knees to the quad. I mean, I think Jones is extremely good. I think if they fight, I think Stipe wins by decision.
Wow.
Honestly, it's not going to get finished.
Wow. Because
Jones isn't going to catch him with anything. He's not going to be able to just wrestle him. You're not just going to... Stipe's a big dude. You're not going to be able to grab him and then throw him on his back.
I agree.
That's not happening. You're not going to out... He's not outstriking Stipe. He couldn't outstrike Reyes. Whatever. He couldn't decisively outstrike Reyes.
Yeah, pointed Reyes.
Hmm?
He outpointed Reyes, which is why he won the fight.
That's fair enough. But you're not going to outpoint Stipe. You're not just going to beat Stipe.
That's
You're not going to out-wrestle Stipe. Even though he is a better wrestler, he's not a... John Jones isn't an aggressive wrestler. He's not a, I'm going to take you down and throw you on your back. He's a, I'm going to use my wrestling so I'm not in terrible situations after I throw a spinning elbow. You know what I mean? So, and I don't think he's going to be able to outstrike him. I think it'll be a great fight. I think Stipe wins just because he's... I'm not going to say better. I don't think he's a better fighter pound for pound.
Nope.
I think when he's... I think going up... I think he's in for a rude awakening.
Real quickly, just give me the name. I don't need an explanation. Jones or Ngannou, who wins?
Jones or Ngannou?
Yes, who wins? Just to see. Jones. Okay, good,
easily.
Good.
Because I'm going to say easily.
It's easily.
Easily, but risky.
You're saying that Jones might get caught?
Obviously.
Okay, because, I mean, you know, going to Stipe versus Ngannou, you know, if it was Stipe, might get caught. I don't. Did Ngannou even land a strike in that fight? I don't know. Stipe just took him down.
Let's not act like that's the same Ngannou. Ngannou's had like...
It's not.
Ngannou's fought for 90 seconds in his last three fights.
That's true.
I mean, that's not the same Ngannou.
Jones doesn't get hit, though. But
John Jones doesn't get hit.
He doesn't get hit.
In his last fight.
He gets touched. He doesn't get hit.
Do you see that uppercut that Reyes landed against him? I mean,
it's like 2 years ago. So.
It was 2 years ago? Whatever.
I was in Las Vegas for that one.
Anyway.
Oh, no, that was last year. Yeah, 2019.
Who do you think wins the rematch of Ibn Connor?
If you notice, Zach keeps trying to bring Connor into everything. He's a big Connor fan. You know, we're well past that one. I mean, you know, Khabib's got two more fights, he says, and he wants to retire. You know, I mean, if it, I say Khabib, I probably say Khabib. That's my first time. I've been very good with it. If Khabib loses to Gaethje, let's just say, I mean, I don't know. You don't want to see Connor fighting a guy coming off of a loss. I won't get into that quite yet because there's a lot that can happen. Obviously, you know, Poirier versus... Connor is set to be January 23rd. I don't think it's official yet, but that's what it's looking like.
Connor 2, by the way.
All right. So
possibly 1. He hits hard. He said he wants to do it at 1.
We're not going to talk about Connor because Zach will keep going for hours. So we're going to stop with the UFC for now. And I think that's all we have for this episode. Is that correct? Anything else?
Pretty sure.
So, yeah, if you notice, we didn't have much to talk about River Hill Sports. That's not going to be the case for... our episodes moving forward, it's just, you know, nothing's going on right now. I mean, we could talk about how people are training, how people are staying in shape. That's just not too fun. If you want to know about that, we have plenty of articles on our website, riverhillcurrent.com, that you can read. We have more coming out soon talking about, you know, what athletes have been doing during quarantine. You know, I can quickly say River Hill football, we're doing very well at the 7-on-7 clinic. We have an article on riverhillcurrent.com, you can read about that clinic. But the team does look very good. Do you agree with that, Zach?
100%. I think people every single year, it's, oh, it was, what was it, our freshman year? It was, oh, they're not going to be able to compete with Glenel. Well, I guess we lost them in the playoffs,
yeah.
But we beat them in the regular season, probably more convincingly.
Mm-hmm.
And then going into our sophomore year, oh, they lost all these people. And then county championship. And then, was it a county championship that year? No, it wasn't. Anyway, playoffs.
No, it was. Freshman year. I don't know if it was.
Excuse me. And then it was, oh, they're not going to be, and then blah, blah, blah. And it's our junior year. Oh, they lost all these guys. Oh, Glenel's back. Oh, yada, yada, yada. County champions, or co-county championship. But that was
county champions.
Whatever
county you champions.
Call it. And this year it's going to be, oh, no, Bo. Oh, no, AB. And then... year after year, we're going to deliver. We're going to go against the... we don't really care about the hate. We're not really paying too much attention to the media. Yeah, we're just going out there and handle business. We have a lot of hard work. We've got a lot of guys who... I feel like they've been slept on this entire... for most of their careers that you probably haven't heard of, but they're coming. A guy named Carl Berzak, looking like an animal out there. I expect great things.
Yeah, I agree. We don't know when exactly we'll play. We're hoping, you know, might get some practice going in February at the latest, I don't know. But, you know, we really just want to get back in the field. But obviously we're not going to just talk about football. It's just the sport that both of us play. But we're going to make sure we discuss every single sport that goes on at River Hill. So if you guys have any suggestions or comments or anything you want us to talk about, if you want to potentially come on an episode, hopefully we'll get Jaden and George back to complete the bunch. No. Wow, that was a
No, it was a catch. He gave up a third.
Oh, Zach's checked out of the podcast. It has been pretty long. We said it was going to be shorter than 45 minutes. It has not been short, I don't think. But, you know, hopefully you guys enjoyed. Sorry about the dog barking in the background. That's just, you know, 2020 for you. We're doing this in my basement. But, yeah, that's about it. So, thank you guys for watching Hawk Center Episode 2. Hopefully next time Episode 3 will come out. It won't be 2 years. Thank you guys for watching.
It wasn't really 2 years. It was like 1.5.